Buggy, the dog, was rejected by his first owner for killing a cat. Something he cops to in his 2012 memoir, Uggy, My Story, where he says, "Bark, bark, 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 bark," roughly translated by his biographer Wendy Holden as, "I'm not proud of killing a cat. Now, if it had been a squirrel or a zebra, that would have been something to brag about." However, in his defense, he says that like most young pups his age, without a father figure, he got into trouble, being too young to know the difference between right and wrong. But being a killer didn't stop animal trainer extraordinaire Omar von Mueller from fulfilling Uggy's need for paternal figure, as Jack Russells are very malleable breeds when it comes to tricks and obedience, and Omar saw an opportunity for rehabilitation. By adopting him, Omar demonstrated to Uggy forgiveness, and soon he enrolled the terrier in acting school, which led to an uncredited breakout role on Anthony Calderella's What's Up, Scarlett from 2005, when Uggy was just 3. Did Omar von Mueller know he had a star in his hands when he rescued Uggy? How does our terrier fare in a film where he competes for screen time with other animals? And is Uggy secretly an LGBTQ icon? All this and more in today's Consider Uggy podcast, where my Awards Daily colleague Joey and Moser and I track the filmography of Uggy the dog, starting with this breakthrough performance. So, hi, Joey. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
Tough day for zebras.
I know, right? What did you, let's just get into, well, we're watching these movies. We're starting with What's Up, Scarlett from 2005. I was very, watching this film, I was, got very nostalgic for like mid-2000s comedies, which were like, there's a very specific breed, so to speak, of them. This film surprised me, and I really, based on the description, I did not know that it was going to go where it goes. Did you?
No, especially because you told me not to read anything about it.
So I was surprised.
Well, it was, it's a very easy movie to watch. It's only like an hour and 20 minutes. So, yeah, completely blind. Did not expect the movie to go where it did go. And then I read some Amazon reviews later of the movie, which very much surprised me. It was quite an experience.
Well, speaking of reviews, so what the story of this the plot of this film is that it's about a woman who's a matchmaker. That's her business. And her mom's always trying to set her up. And then she gets into an accident with this other woman. And then she invites the woman to live with her, basically. And then she falls in love with her?
None of the actions in the movie explain the horrible cover art. If that is a question that you are going to have while you watch What's Up, Scarlett, which come in 10-minute intervals on YouTube, which I highly recommend you do because it is sort of a very easy watch. Scarlett is like the angriest person in a romantic comedy that I've seen in a long time. She sort of falls in love with this woman who also is, not only is this a movie about someone on the hunt for love, but it's also about a bunch of actors on the hunt for a consistent accent. And No one finds it.
That is what I had written down. First of all, I do want to read, so The Hollywood Reporter, I found a review in The Hollywood Reporter, which describes it, well, I think this is a bit harsh, but it says empty. And it says, she dotes on her 4 dogs, who after they've done their cute tricks and facilitated a few plot points, are absent most of the movie, which I thought, that is true. Like, she's not only angry, but she is a terrible dog owner, because those dogs are gone for, like most of the film. Like, and I was wondering where they were. But, so the woman who she runs into... her name is, hold on, let me pull this up. The actress is Musette Evander, and she plays Sabrina. And that accent changes multiple times where I was like, is she French? Is she, I mean, I have no idea where she's from. And also I kind of think she's like the worst house guest ever in it.
Yeah. It's at one point I was like, oh, is she French? Oh, is she, I don't know. You know, I can't remember what's the actress name, Musetta.
Musette Evander.
Musette Evander. I don't know what Musette Evander's ethnicity is off the top of my head. I don't know what her, I don't know what necessarily is kosher here, since we are in a very PC 2020. I will say, also, I was very struck by, this movie came out like 2005. There were a lot of things in it that actually, you know, a lot of things that you would say to a person who you assume is Puerto Rican or you assume is from Argentina. It's a lot of like horrible things that white people say to people that are not white. I was like,
They call her Rosita the whole time and never learn her name. I was like, that bothered me. It bothered me.
They assume she's the maid. They assume that she, you know, she's the maid who will, I mean, she's a cook. Sabrina is an actress slash chef. So I guess she's has multiple talents. But they just assume all these like horrible not stereotypes, but things that like white people do to people that, are not white, and they say horrible things to her, and they do it like without hesitating. There's also like a weird, also borderline rape in it. Almost. Yes,
there are multiple borderline rapes.
Like that they play off the comedy. They're like, oh, what's that misunderstanding?
So upset by that. I mean, her boss or somebody she works with, Scarlett, like grabs her boobs multiple times and she just kind of shoos him away. And then when he starts attacking her, her assistant comes in and is just like, oh, well. And then they cut to a different scene, like, boy, men will be men. And also, okay, speaking of misunderstandings, I thought in the beginning that Jerry Burns, I always see him and think of the TV show from NBC in the 90s, Something So Right. Like, I immediately see him and I'm like, Something So Right. He's in this. I thought he was going to be her love interest in the beginning because he kisses her on the lips. And then they reveal it. I swear he kissed her on the lips. And then they reveal that he is her brother. Were you surprised by that too?
Yeah, I also feel like he should have been played by, hold on, let me see. The whole time I was watching, I was like, oh, you're supposed to be John Benjamin Hickey, but you're not John Benjamin Hickey.
Oh.
Like, that's who I thought. They were like, oh, we can't get John Benjamin Hickey? Let's get Jerry Burns. Because I know that I know Jerry Burns from something, and I was scrolling through his IMDb page.
He's in like everything.
He's in like everything.
Angie Tribeca recently.
He's like, oh, you're that guy.
Yeah, I saw him and I was like, oh, I know him. Something So Right. I always think of that show. That's my go-to.
That's right. He was on like Good Morning Miami. I'm going through.
Oh, right. He was on Good Morning Miami.
Maybe that's what I remember him from. But like, I was like, oh, God. Oh, now I know. He's from, he was in Life Size. It's just, oof. There were a lot of things that I was just like, okay. Like, at the end, when all of a sudden he decides to put the moves on Sabrina, and he quite literally throws wine on her, and like takes off his robe to try and dry it. I was like, oh my God, this is horrible. What the hell? But I wanted to say something that you brought up. Like, I actually thought I expected more dogs.
Especially when they set it up in the beginning.
Like, yeah, I expected like a Diane Lane must love dogs level of dogs.
But she's got four fucking dogs in this. And by the way, they are Uggie's real life like siblings in it. Gordo, yeah, this is according to his biography that Gordo is one of his siblings. But wait, do you want to read? Let me read a little section from his biography about how he felt about working on What's Up, Scarlett. This is on page 76. So he said, "What's Up Scarlet was fun because I wasn't the only member of our pack picked. Gordo, Chada, and Brando also got in on the act, all of us playing the adored pets of a workaholic woman living with a controlling mother. Even though I don't think she's living with her. The part wasn't especially demanding, and some of my best work ended up on the cutting room floor." You kind of sense that. "Gordo had far better exposure than me, for which I was grateful, for that gentle old bonehead deserved all the breaks he could get." I do think that Uggie kind of let the other dogs step up and do their thing. Uggie kind of faded into the background. I mean, he does beg for food at some point,
mm-hmm.
Which was cute. And then also he humps a guy's leg.
That's his, like, you know, that's his, like, remember, that's, like, the moment where, like, the cameo. I was like, oh, okay, there it is. So Uggie's performance in this is more like a glamorized cameo in this. Remember when, like, in Goldmember, Austin Powers, when, like, Tom Cruise, Gwyneth Paltrow, and, like, all those people, like, pop up in, like, the beginning of it? It was like, oh, it's that level of a cameo almost. Because, actually, I will admit that anytime the dogs are on screen, I was like, where's Uggie?
Right. Where's the dog? He fades into the background. Even has his head down a little bit at points where you're like, oh, is he nervous?
What's wrong, Uggie?
Yeah, he seems a little nervous. There was something else I was going to... Okay, what was I going to say about... now I can't remember what I was going to say. But you're right, though. But yeah, I felt that he is kind of a glorified cameo. Although it's kind of also a little saucy little role. Like, you know, he does get the... I think he gets the biggest laugh of the dogs. Him mm-hmm. humping the guy's leg is pretty funny, I thought.
Maybe he just wanted to, you know, make sure he shared a scene with Sally Kirkland.
Maybe.
I would do whatever I want to make sure.
I kept expecting them to pop up. Like, whenever she and Sabrina, Scarlett and Sabrina, are in bed together, I was like, this is where the dogs come in or do something. But they didn't. And, like, they were absent for much of the film. And you're like, what's, like, when they're fighting, like, this would have been a good time for the dog to come in and be like, oops, gotta go. Like,
There were several montages with bad music where things go into slow motion for no reason. You know, there was a couple of times where they're, like, dancing around. Or, like, the part where Sabrina at the very beginning when Scarlett was like, you know, you can stay at my house for this long, and when I get back, you better not be here. And she's like, you know, dancing around and dusting and like, you know, having a good time. I expected the dogs to be more in like that. But, yeah, this was an interesting experience.
Do you think that this film was... I couldn't help but think about Kissing Jessica Stein with this film. As, like, a... So that film came out in 2001. This is 2005, so 4 years later... I feel like it's kind of in that realm, and I do respect it for, like, going full, like, Scarlett's in a relationship with a woman instead of, like, Kissing Jessica Stein. At the time, I loved that film, but now I watch it, and I'm like, oh, like, it kind of just, it cops out at the end, and it's like, oh, yeah, she's straight. You know, like, she's going back to dudes. I feel like this one is, like, we're committing to it. We're going to go on a gondola in Venice at the end. You know, we're gonna...
I know.
We want a happy ending for Scarlett. But I was wondering if you felt, like, some sort of maybe inspiration from, like, this time period where films were, like, exploring LGBTQ romances. But this one, I mean, I think this one is I support it going the full way.
I did not know that that's where the movie was going. They sort of don't talk about, they don't really talk about it at all. Like, the fact that she's sort of, you know, in a relationship with a girl. They sort of do it a little bit when Sally Kirkland, Scarlett's mother, essentially catches them doing it, and it is, like, the weirdest confrontation scene where she
right.
just goes into the next room and sits down and cries, and then there's another scene where Sally Kirkland is talking with Jerry Burns and is like, doesn't it concern you that your sister's turning into a lesbian? they sort of don't discuss the, not mechanics of the relationship, but they don't really talk about Scarlett's sexuality in any real capacity. They don't talk, I mean, obviously now we have the language of, like, fluidity and like, you know, people talk about how female sexuality is more fluid than male sexuality and all this, that, and the other. But, and I feel like Kissing Jessica Stein probably talked about that a little bit, and this one sort of doesn't do that at all.
Right. She doesn't even like, oh my God, I'm falling in love with a woman or any kind of like, which is kind of cool at the same time that it's, she's just like, oh, I feel this way. That's cool. But it's, you're right. It's like, you know, we don't really learn much about her previous relationships either.
Well, sort of just like, they sort of hint at the fact, because they Sabrina says to her a couple of times, she's like, why are you so angry? I feel like they're just like, of course she's angry. She's a repressed lesbian.
She's not getting any or something.
Like she doesn't like penises. Oh.
But she's angry, but she invites a complete stranger to live with her after she runs, like after their cars run into each other.
And finds out that she's homeless.
Yes. I just feel like that's, like, a bit, it's just weird, given her character, who seems like kind of a bitch, that maybe that's why that they're like trying to say, oh, look how, like, she really likes her. But, and then this woman proves to be the worst, like I said, the worst house guest ever. I would
think she's the worst house guest.
You don't think she's the worst house guest?
No, I think she oversteps her bounds a lot, and she, I was like, the whole time I was like, does she pay any rent? Is she, is she, you know, looking for a job and like, hey, I'll do this to let you stay. I don't know. I did think, I mean, for a while that she wasn't helping really. I don't know.
No, she had that dude over at one point too. And I'm like, who's this guy? Like, she's just bringing strangers over. It's like, I just found that.
He's funny. Not a stranger. It's her co-star.
Right.
That's
right.
The part where I was just like, the part where I almost messaged you and I was like, nope, save it for the podcast, because they go see Sabrina in a play, which it sort of bothered me. It really shouldn't bother me because it's just not a very good movie, but it's sort of, I was just like, is she an actor or is she a chef? Like, I need you to pick.
Right. What's really her passion?
Like, what's up, Sabrina? And the scene where all of a sudden it's the movie sort of switches really quickly for it to be like, everything's fine and they're having a great time together. Like, near the end when, after Sabrina leaves and she's going through, Scarlett is going through that photo album, I was like, when did they take all these pictures?
I thought that too. I wrote down, when did Sabrina and Scarlett take any photos?
And then
how
long
has she lived there for if they had any photos?
And then also, remember getting photos developed? What?
Right. I know. Like, nowadays they would just be on like a phone, like, or looking through Instagram or something.
Yeah. But,
I was going to say, this is also the time period where it was like cool. I said, I wrote this down. This is the age of movie where choosing to not use technology was cool. Also, Kissing Jessica Stein. Like, now it's simply impossible. Like, she doesn't want to take her business online. Like, clearly this business is out of business now. Like, if she's not pivoting in 2005, what the fuck, Scarlett? Like, that's what it should have been called. What the fuck, Scarlett? Get this business online.
Do you think she like sees commercials for Bumble and like has a rage stroke?
She's probably still trying to be like, why don't people want to do this in person? Both her and that bitch Sabrina are living on the streets now, probably, sadly. Was Susan Pryor giving you some Mad Carol vibes? Like, aka like Kate Blanchett? Like, I was seeing like just lots of Kate Blanchett vibes in this, and I was totally getting a Carol vibe.
I would not look at this movie and think anything about Kate Blanchett because
really? Oh, well, I mean, I'm not saying the acting was up to that, but I was saying that like she totally reminded me. I'm like, oh, she's throwing out some, maybe because she's like, Carol was a little angry, like she's a little, but like, you know, she managed her her anger well, but I mean, clearly Scarlett doesn't.
So
that's true. Yeah. But yeah, I was just like, oh, is this kind of like an early version of Carol? This is the first script.
Is this a bad version of Carol?
Yeah. But yeah, I also wrote it down that like this is a rom-com where every man has no idea what a lesbian is. like how many times, like even at the end when Scarlett goes to the restaurant where Sabrina works and she's on a date and like Sabrina comes over and they like hug for a really long time and the guy's just like, that's really nice. And like every guy in this film is a complete asshole, including like, I'm pretty sure Scarlett's relationship with her brother has got to be tarnished after this. Like, you don't come back from trying to rape your girlfriend, I don't think.
Raping your sister's girlfriend.
Yes. I meant from her point of view, like, she tried to rape my girlfriend. Like, basically, I don't know how they repair that relationship.
Yeah, and the funny thing is that you say about the scene where she's like out to dinner with that guy and she's obviously incredibly disgusted. Her friend Vladimir, because also we have to throw in other accents in here, and the guy's Russian accent is not good. I don't know if he's really Russian, but even if he's really Russian, he sounds bad. But the thing that made me laugh, I laughed out loud because I was like, he's eating oysters and she's like looking at him in disgust. And he was like, do you want an oyster? And she's like, I don't eat oysters. And it was like, but you want to eat oysters. Vladimir was played by main by Tim Murphy. So no, I don't think he's actually Russian. so great. I don't know where I was going with that, but yes.
What do you think of like Uggie's first breakout role being in this like LGBTQ like comedy? It's I kind of think it's ballsy. Like I like it. I like that. I'm glad that this movie exists, because I think that I know people would be like, oh, it's so dated. I mean, they literally say in it at one point, I wrote down like, are you mentally retarded? Which I was like, oh, no, like this is so like a specific period in time. And it wasn't even that long ago, really, if you think about it, but like, it's just crazy to see how much has changed. And, but I do think it's interesting that Uggie's first role is like, I mean, I think this is more gutsy than The Artist.
I mean, he humps someone that's more, less sanitized. What?
He humps a man.
That is true. He does.
Yeah. So he's kind of participating in his own, like, his own fluidity, inner, and his own experimentation, which I'm totally down for. I applaud Uggie.
You're saying that he should be, what's it called?
What I'm saying is that the Babadook is a gay icon. Why can't Uggie be a gay icon? Like, he was in this film. Like,
and he humps someone of the same thing. Yeah,
right, the same gender. Like, so, good for him. Good for him. I mean, I don't have much more to talk about with this film other than I did want to pose a question to you since you haven't read the biography yet.
I have. I need to read it in conjunction with watching stuff. I completely forgot. It's just literally staring at me from my bookshelf.
I do have a question for you because I was rereading it just to check in on, you know, certain things. And, to make sure I was refreshed. And he compares himself to a classic movie actor in the book. And I wanted to know, what classic human actor would you compare Uggie to? Human.
What classic movie actor?
Yeah, or just any actor in general. Like,
Let's just say, since we're going to go with the gay dog narrative, how about Montgomery Clift?
Ooh, I like that.
I also really like Montgomery Clift. So.
Oh, me too. He's gorgeous. But I'll let you know who... So Uggie compares himself to Robert Mitchum.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. Which I thought was like, that's great. That's fantastic.
Hold on, I'm gonna look up old pictures of Robert Mitchum.
I mean, I don't think he's saying he looks like Robert Mitchum.
Oh, no, I
think
he's
saying he acts like Robert. That would be great if he looked like Robert.
No, I'm going to go back to Montgomery Clift there.
I like that. I saw him thinking about who I would compare Uggy to. I mean, it's something to think about when you're watching these films. It's like, you know, what do you see Uggy as? Maybe I kind of think of him as a James Dean type, to be honest. Oh.
Well, he did die very young.
That's true. And well, Uggy lived like a... Okay, Uggy, he died... He was like 12 or 13.
Oh,
like,
never
mind. I think he lived a good life. Like, I don't think he died too young. Yeah, he was 13 years old. So, that's pretty decent.
Can I read you two top reviews on Amazon for this movie?
Yes. I am really excited because I have not seen these.
Okay, so this one, the top positive review, gave it 4 out of 5 stars. It says, I like it, but they put it in comedy, 4 question marks. I honestly do not get the humor. No spoiler, comma's in the wrong place. I just do not see it as funny. Still a good movie. More drama than funny. Good ending. More drama than funny. So that's the positive review. The negative review, which I think is quite funny, is a movie made for the sake of making a movie about a lesbian couple. I was a quarter way through when I began thinking that I didn't particularly care what was going to happen. This review has more substance than the actual movie. And two people found that review helpful.
What year was that written, that review?
2015.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. That's not that long ago. Wow. Nope. Well, I'm glad.
Well, the first review is from 2018, so...
Do you think that people are seeking out Uggy's films and trying to do the same thing that we're doing?
I'm going to say, in conjunction with this podcast, yes.
Okay, I like hearing that. I hope that that is, like, what they're doing. I hope we see some more reviews of people saying, I watched this film for the Consider Uggy podcast. Like, I hope we see that. Yeah. I truly do.
By the way, for the tens of people that are listening to this podcast, I hope that you tweet that you are... that made Jason laugh. that you are tweeting that you are listening to the Consider Uggy podcast and using the hashtag Consider Uggy.
Yeah, Consider Uggy. And also let us know what classic human actor you would compare Uggy to.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's pivot toward the next film. So we're doing a little bit of we're going to go off track a little bit. Mm-hmm. And according to Uggy's biography, as Bark to Wendy Holden, he starred in a film called Life is Rough, where he played an award-winning purebred pet of an aristocratic teenager. This is not on his IMDb, which I'm not sure why.
No, when you say Life is Rough, is it
R-U-F-F? Yes. Oh, yes. It's available on Disney+. And Amazon Prime, and it's about a kid who enters a contest to buy his favorite rare comic book, and I think he enters his dog into a contest, like a purebred show contest. So that is what we're going to watch next.
Looked up the IMDb page, and I'm excited. There is someone who plays a character named Emily Watson, but the character is not played by the actress Emily Watson. So be prepared for me to talk about that the entire podcast.
Yes, it says, according to IMDb, it's Calvin is a scheming 13-year-old boy with everything going for him except for an original issue of his precious comic book collection. When a prize show dog chases him down while skateboarding one day, gee, I wonder who that dog is. His owner inadvertently convinces him to adopt and train a dog of his own. However, the only one available is an uncouth stray Labrador St. Bernard mix named Tycho from a local animal shelter who proves to be more than anybody can handle. This actually sounds delightful. And it's also from 2005.
Like, this sounds like it's from the Beethoven genre of dog movies.
Yes. And I really do miss those type of movies today. Space Buddies was on and I was just watching a bunch of dogs just walking around on the moon, and I was like, this is pretty awesome.
So you're basically you're missing an opportunity for more chemistry between Charles Grodin and Bonnie Hunt. That's what you're telling me. That's
yes. I just love movies where dogs are just doing stupid stuff. Like Air Bud. Like, I don't know if anybody follows Air Bud on Instagram, but you should because
there's an Air Bud Instagram?
Yes. They'll just post Air Buds, like things about Air Bud from time to time. And I really enjoy it. So.
And I am following Air Bud.
But again, we're asking questions like, you know, are we going to see less films like this? Like less films where dogs are being dogs or astronauts, you know, like what's the future of dogs in films? Because I'm not quite sure.
Yeah. Can I point out that on the Air Bud Instagram, there is a picture of Air Buds, like the Apple Air Buds.
And like they Air Buds?
Like earbuds. What's it say?
AirPods?
Yeah, AirPods. See, not an Apple user, but for myself. But there is a picture of golden retrievers popping out of the case that you keep them in. So they are AirPods.
Yes, I love that. I love that.
And I'm favoriting it.
So anyway, so the next one we're going to be watching is Life is Rough. It's available on Disney Plus or Amazon Prime. Joey, do you have anything to say before we head out?
I would say that if you were going to watch What's Up, Scarlett, make sure you have a lot of wine handy.
Or if you're doing Dry January like me, you have grape cocktail juice.
Or if it was me that was trying to do Dry January, just tell everyone you're still doing Dry January and just drinking heavily.
Yes, that works too.
I've been meaning to ask you if you were still doing Dry January because of everything that's going on in the world. I've been meaning to ask you, but I'm glad that you're still sticking with it.
I am still doing it. I am sticking with it, and I've been enjoying it, actually. I really do, but that is a conversation for a different time.
Yeah. I will say that every time that we've recorded one of these podcasts, my dog has been just wandering around. I feel like he just wants to be around while we're talking about dogs.
You should have him watch the next one, and we could have him as a special guest to see what he thinks of Life is Rough.
Okay. Maybe I won't be it. Maybe you can just be Neville, and you can just hear me using my dog's voice for 20
minutes. Oh, my God. That would be great. Okay, well, so, yes, Life is Rough is next, and we hope you'll go on this filmography journey of Uggie. We will see you next time.